Praise the Lord. Glory to Jesus. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Amen. Amen. If you remember last week, I spoke about the subject was led by the Spirit of God. And today we have the second part, continuation of last week, led by the Spirit of God, number two. And our Bible text is from Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Amen.
Amen.
I've spoken a lot about end time and the rapture during out throughout this year. We need spiritual understanding to understand what that means to us. What does it mean today? What does it imply? What or how does it change your life? Jesus said to Nicodemus in John 3:3, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. If anyone is in Christ, John 3:3 says, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Unless he is born again. And Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. So, this is the result of being born again, that you become a new creation. There is nothing more important in the whole world than that we are born again. When you're born again, you're born as a new person, and all things have passed away. But don't think that when you're born again, you lose your overweight. Or you change your color. It's the inward man, not the outward man, that is changed, that becomes a new creature in Christ. We still have the same body that we had before, but we became a new person inside. We must learn to do, to let that new man in insult, dominate your body. With a new man, we control the flesh and do something with our bodies. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new self. A new self. What we need to do is to crucify that flesh. Jesus said, crucify your flesh. The Bible says so. Crucifying the flesh is not something that God will do for you. It's something that you have to do for yourself. Our opening verse says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices. So who presents your body? You do. Who is you? That is a new man in inside who is born again and has become a new creature in Christ. So you have to do something with your body. If you don't do anything with your body, nothing else and nobody else will do something with it. So 1 Corinthians 9:27, it says, but I keep under my body, Paul wrote here, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be cast away. Paul is talking about the fact that he does something with his body. He's doing something with it. I keep my body under. I subject it. So who is saying this? This is a real man, the real Paul. The man on the inside who has become a new creature through Jesus Christ. Filled with the Holy Spirit, he said, I do something with my body. I keep it under. Well, Paul, what did Paul do, bring his body into subjection to? To the inward man. You remember that we are two people. We have a physical body. We are a spirit. We have a soul and we live in a body. So the inward man. Instead of letting the body dominate the inward man, Paul saw to it that the inward man dominated the outward man. Here we have the great apostle, a holy man of God. This man who wrote half the New Testament. A man who is a spiritual giant. Yet evidently, his body wanted to do things which were not right. If he didn't, he wouldn't have to say, I have to keep it under. He would not have to bring it into subjection. So just because your body wants to do something wrong doesn't mean that you're not saved. And it doesn't mean that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. If this were the case, Paul would not be saved. You will have to contend with the body, with the flesh, as long as you live in this world. Well, but Paul didn't let the body dominate him. It's very important. The man on the inside, the man who's born again, the man who is filled with the Holy Spirit has to dominate the body, the outward man. And this thing is what you have to do. Paul didn't say that God would do it for you. Paul didn't say the Holy Spirit would do it for you. He said, you present your body. You present your body. He said, you be not conformed to the world. He said, be transformed by the renewing of the mind. He didn't say, pray to God that he would change your mind. No, that is unscriptural. He said, you be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You present your body. You get your mind renewed with what? With the Word of God. Renew your mind with the Word of God. The life and the nature of God comes into you when you are renewed, when you're born again, first of all. When you renew your mind by the Word of God, the renewed Word of God will come and live inside of you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let that man on the inside be the dominant one. The man on the inside, let it be dominant. And listen to him. If the spirit of man, that is the candle of the Lord, we heard that last week. It's through your spirit that God will guide you. Paul was writing about presenting our body as living sacrifices. In the Old Testament, the priests were to prepare the sacrifices brought by the people. They had sacrifice for all kinds of things. They had sin offerings, they had wave offerings, they had thanks offerings, they had all kinds of offerings. In non-Christian religions, they also have sacrifices, and sometimes even human sacrifices. In the time of Paul, it was common to sacrifice human. Offering ourselves to God would mean not to take part in pagan worship, which God hates. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. God doesn't care about animal sacrifices. He wants us to become living sacrifices. Our Father wants us to lay aside daily our life. He wants us to lay aside ourselves on a daily basis, dedicating ourselves to Him, dedicating ourselves to Him, and living His way of life. Romans 12 explains how we can sacrifice ourselves. In verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. What does that mean? That means what the world does, what your friends do, what your work colleagues do, you don't do the same thing. You don't talk the same way. You don't go after the same things. Verse 3 says, don't pretend to love, but be sincere. Many people, they pretend to love, but they're not sincere. When I was young, I was working in a bank, and the counter was, one man was at the counter, and he smiled to the customers, and then he turned around and called them all kinds of names. A Christian is to offer himself daily to serve God and to love others. We are to be focused on benefiting and blessing others by living the way of God as defined in the Bible. We should be living sacrifices every day, not only on Sunday. Romans 8:16, it says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Being led by the inward man is the number one thing, number one way that God leads His children. When you study the Old Testament prophets, they said, so says the Lord. Whenever they started to say something, they said, so says the Lord. Have you ever wondered how God spoke to them? How did the Lord tell them? The word of God came to prophet's spirit from the Spirit of God. It can be so real when God speaks that you think you hear it audible. Prophets in the New Testament are similar to the prophets in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, prophets were called seer because they saw and knew things supernaturally. The prophets in the New Testament also see and know things supernaturally. But the prophet in the New Testament doesn't have the same status as the prophet in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, prophets guided the people because the general public, they didn't have the Holy Spirit that came on the day of Pentecost. So they had to lead them. But God does not send prophets to the church to guide the church. He does not. A Christian under the New Testament needs not to seek guidance through prophets. He might receive guidance by a prophet, but he should not seek it because it is unscriptural. The ministry of the New Testament prophets in this area are only to confirm what people already have in their own spirits. Because the Holy Spirit lives in us. Praise God. The Spirit lives in us. The Spirit is showing to our spirit, and we don't need anything else. The Bible does not say as many as are led by the prophets of God shall be sons of God. It doesn't say that. It says as many as are led by the Spirit, they are sons of God. God is leading us by the inward Spirit, by our witness. If we learn to follow the inward witness, He will guide us in all the affairs of life. As you learn to develop your spirit, follow the inward witness. He will guide you in every area of life. The inward witness is just as supernatural in guidance as it is through visions or any other means. It's just as spectacular. Many Christians are looking for the spectacular and they miss the supernatural, which is right there all the time. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
In the first letter of John, chapter 5, verse 10, it says, "He who believes in the Son of God has a witness in himself." He who believes in the Son of God has a witness in himself. Last week we learned and we studied Romans 8:14. And there it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." So the sons of God can expect to be led by the Spirit of God. They are not led by someone else telling them what to do. The Holy Spirit is going to lead us. How does He lead us? Romans 8:16 gives the answer. The Spirit in Himself, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. It's the most important aspect of life and the most important thing that can happen to you. Born, becoming a child of God. God lets you know that you are His child by the Spirit bearing witness with our spirit. Then we can understand the first and foremost way God will lead us is by the inward spirit, by the inward witness. You don't know that you're a child of God because someone prophesied to you that you're a child of God. You shouldn't accept that. You do not know that you're a child of God because someone said, "I feel you are a Christian." You're not a child of God because of a vision. A vision will never make you into a child of God. The Bible says that we know that we are children. We know we are children of God because by His Spirit He showed us. God's Spirit bearing witness with our spirit. Praise God. To be led by the Spirit of God, you have to present your body as a living sacrifice. To be led by the Spirit of God, you cannot let your body dominate your spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You cannot let your body dominate your spirit. We are not slaves of the body. We're not slaves of the body. Your spirit has to dominate the body. What your body says is not necessary, but what the spirit says. And what the body says is not necessarily what the spirit says. The body may tell you, you are sick. And your spirit tells you, you're healed. By his stripes, you're healed. The body may tell you to go to a certain place, but the body says, and the spirit says, don't go there. The body may tell you, watch a certain thing. And the Spirit says, don't look at it. Never let your body tell you what to do or where to go. Never let your body tell you where to go and what to do. Listen to your spirit. Many have saved their lives by listening to their spirit. I never forget my schoolmate. His mother wanted to go on holidays in Africa, and everything was planned, everything was prepared, the ticket was paid, and 2 days before the trip began, her husband says, I don't allow you to go. You're not to go. No way. You're not going to Africa. And the wife was angry. She was upset. I was angry at her husband. 2 days later, when they heard the news, they heard that the plane had crashed. It was exactly the plane that she was supposed to take. So listen to the Spirit. We sacrifice ourselves, we crucify our flesh, then we can listen to the Holy Spirit and do what he says. They that are led by the Spirit of God, they are called sons of God. They are that are led by the Spirit of God will have an abundance of life. To be led by the Spirit has so much impact in your life. It's so much more powerful. It's so much more in it than to be led as a normal person. So the ones who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. We are sons of God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.